RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. The government affirms to double the number of foreign tourists visiting Indonesia. Trade value between Indonesia and Kazakhstan increase. The Regional Representative Council, DPD, visits Indonesian dairy farmers in New Zealand. Now the news in detail. In 2014, the number of foreign tourists visiting Indonesia reached nearly 10 million people. In 2009, it is targeted to reach 20 million people. Deputy Minister for Human Resources, Science and Maritime Culture, the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Resources, Safri Burhanuddin, said that only 10% of the total number of tourists visiting Indonesia has the interest in marine tourism. That is, only 1 million people who do nautical tourism, while for underwater tourism, only about 150,000 people. Thus, Indonesia still has to continue its efforts to carry out its marine tourism promotion.
There are many marine tourism, beaches, and underwater tourism. So when we speak about the coral under the sea, it is only 15% of the 10% of total tourists. If we have 10 million, only 1 million for marine tourism, then approximately 150,000 for coral. This is very important if we want to duplicate the information about wealth, beauty, care, about our coral, which controls nearly 75% of the CTI in Indonesia, then we must campaign and we are a success.
The number of tourist arrival in Raja Ampat, Wakatobi, and Komodo has increased in the past 2 years. Safri acknowledged that Indonesia's tourism infrastructure is still weak. Therefore, Minister of Maritime Affairs and Resources, in collaboration with relevant agencies such as the Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing and the Ministry of Transportation, will soon build the infrastructure to support the tourism. According to Safri, although Indonesia has a variety of interesting marine tourism destinations, it still has less promotion than other countries. For example, Indonesia does not have a special terminal for the passengers to the Thousand Islands, and related to coral reef conservation, according to Safri, the government will make certain rules or zoning. The regulation, of course, must be socialized by the regional government. The value of trade between Indonesia and Kazakhstan in 2013 and 2014 increased from $23 million to $36 million. The Indonesian ambassador to Kazakhstan, Foster Gultom, when giving information to RRI in Astana, Kazakhstan on Friday, said that economic potential possessed by Kazakhstan is very large if compared to the fact written on paper.
Dalam 2 tahun terakhir saja saya katakan 2013-2014.
In the last 2 years alone, I say from 2013 to 2014, there was an increase in real terms of trading volume. But in terms of its significance, we need to continue to push for greater economic potential than in reality. For example, if in 2013 alone there was about $23 million, while in 2014 an increase of about $36 million. Furthermore, Ambassador Foster Gultom said Indonesia imports oil from Kazakhstan and Kazakhstan
imports from Indonesia such as palm oil, pharmaceuticals, textiles, spices, furniture, vehicle spare parts, and steel products. Meanwhile, for cooperation in the field of locomotives such as the railways, the governments of Indonesia and Kazakhstan have not made the agreement because it is still constrained by distance and the absence of an international port by the Lokland country in Kazakhstan. Kazakhstan Railway Company representatives Yerken Zinula told RRI in Astana, Kazakhstan on Friday that the railway company of Kazakhstan has been cooperating with some neighboring countries such as French railway company Alstom Transport.
In June 2010, in the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum between Rem Lokomotiv and Transmash Holding and company Alstom Transport signed an agreement to establish a joint production of freight and electric locomotives in Kazakhstan.
Furthermore, Yerken Zinula said cooperation in the field of railways between Indonesia and Kazakhstan is hampered with a further distance between both countries. With the cooperation between Kazakhstan and government of China, that will open the path for a third country to be able to enter goods into Kazakhstan, Indonesia has an opportunity to export train spare parts to Central Asian countries. The delegation of the Regional Representatives Council visited dairy farmers from Indonesia, grantee of Fantara Scholarship in New Zealand. The Indonesian Embassy in Wellington, New Zealand, said the working visit of the Regional Representative Council was held on August the 24th to 29th. The delegation had opportunity to see the training of Indonesian dairy farmers. The trainers were those who obtained training scholarship at Taratahi Agricultural Training Center, Masterton, New Zealand. A total of 9 farmers and extension workers or veterinarians from Indonesia had a chance to get training in dairy cattle of Fonterra Dairy Scholarship Program. Indonesian farmers had opportunity to obtain the best practices from New Zealand livestock systems that can be applied in Indonesia in order to increase milk production. The members of delegation got an explanation directly from Indonesian farmers regarding the training received on a dairy farm. Trainees also received theory of dairy cows at Massey University. Jakarta Administration has launched City-owned lender PT Penjamin Kredit Daerah Indonesia or JAMKRIDA to ease the provision of credit for small and medium enterprises, including street vendors. JAMKRIDA President Director Kusnul Ma'arif said during the launching ceremony at City Hall on Friday that 95% of the company's share was owned by the Jakarta Administration, while the remaining 5% belong to the city-owned market operator PT Pasar Jaya. Husnul also said that he hoped that the company could cooperate well with city-owned Bank DKI, which will provide the loans. He added, if DKI Bank considered the applicants had promising businesses but were not bankable, the bank would contact JAMKRIDA so the company could guarantee the loans. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama said small enterprises like street vendors actually had strong financial capabilities. The Financial Services Authority's executive head for non-banking financial institution Firdaus Jailani, who attended the ceremony, said that JAMKRIDA was essential for the development of small and medium enterprises. National carrier Garuda Indonesia was fined 120,000 rial or around 452 million rupiah after 8 of its airplanes were forced to delay landing at Amir Muhammad bin Abdul Aziz Airport in Medina. Information received by Media Center Haji in Mecca on Thursday said that the fine was done after 8 Garuda Indonesia airplanes landed outside the allocated time as the consequence of the delay of visa process of a number of pilgrims. Pilgrims who did not yet obtain visa from the Saudi Arabia embassy before departure were forced to delay their departure, and the empty seats were occupied by pilgrims who had already obtained the visa. It was this process that took a while, prompting the delay of Garuda flights from a number of embarkations. Those embarkations, including Ujung Pandang that departed on August the 21st and 7 embarkations from Solo Central Java. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The government has decided to keep fuel oil prices unchanged as of September the 1st despite the current slump in global oil prices. The Director General of Oil and Gas at the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry, Igusti Wiratmaja, said on Friday that the main consideration for maintaining fuel oil prices is to keep economic stability. Pertamina had claimed earlier that it suffered a potential loss of 12 trillion rupiahs during the January to July 2015 period as it had sold premium gasoline below the economic price. Pertamina will set the new prices of fuel oils for Java, Madura, and Bali in coordination with the government by taking into account the social and economic conditions of the public. The new prices of fuel oils are higher than the economic prices following a slump in global oil prices to $40 per barrel. Last item, Yogyakarta Cultural Heritage Preservation Center has decided to totally restore Kalasan Temple as its structure is unsafe and facing salt damage. Yogyakarta Center Head Trihartono, after a discussion on the temple in Yogyakarta, said recently that the beautiful temple built during the classical period could be ruined if it is not immediately restored. Kalasan Temple, located in Kalasan, Sleman, is known as a temple adorned with very fine carvings and coated with Bajralepa, a special cement mixture that makes it shine when exposed to moonlight, especially during a full moon. The Yogyakarta Cultural Heritage Preservation Center Security, Rescue and Zoning Working Group leader Muhammad Taufik said the Kalasan Temple was the only temple currently in a damaged state. The temple, located along the Surakarta-Yogyakarta Highway, was earlier restored during the Dutch colonial era in 1928 under the supervision of Dutch architect Van Romon. To end the news, here are the main points once again. The Indonesian government affirms to double the number of foreign tourists visiting Indonesia. Trade value between Indonesia and Kazakhstan increased. The Regional Representative Council visit Indonesian dairy farmers in New Zealand. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various important events that occurred this week are summarized in press review. I'm Dalapani. We begin with Kompas. The newspaper in its editorial wrote, "Improving ports operations." It is indeed a big leap if the government actually made a breakthrough in reducing the time of loading and unloading or dwelling time of goods at seaports. The government, through Maritime Coordinating Minister Rizal Ramli and his staff, stressed that the improvements is in the flow of goods, creation of buffer zone inspection, and the rate increase. If the reform actually began to be implemented, a breakthrough that can be referred to as Operasi Kapret Elang Laut or Albatros operation that spurred the spirit of improvement. The breakthrough is very urgent because the management of a number of ports in Indonesia is considered very inefficient and ineffective. It spends much time, costly, and wasting time. According to this daily, Maritime Ministry has formed a task force team to improve dwelling time that expected started to run effectively this month. Loading and unloading time, which have ranged from 4 to 6 days, will be reduced to 2 and 2.5 days. According to Minister Rizal Ramli, it was the commitment of all stakeholders, especially the government, to immediately improve port management, which has already become tangled. It is expected that the government's effort to fix the port management in a more effective, efficient, and competitive will have very broad impact for the development of a working addict in the midst of the current economic downturn. Kompas argues it has become a necessity every step of the reform, including Operasi Kapret Elang Laut, cannot be half measures if it is to achieve optimal results. Media Indonesia newspaper in its editorial wrote, "Choosing KPK's credible leadership." The credibility of the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK as an institution which eradicate corruption strongly influenced the quality of its leaders. The more competent, professional, independent, and credible the institution's leaders will be higher the credibility of the anti-grab institution. Conversely, if the quality of the capital's leaders is low, the level of the credibility that is parallel will also be produced at the institutional level. Thus, the process of selecting candidates of Corruption Eradication Commission KPKS leaders is crucial stages that will determine the high and low level of the credibility of the Commission as an institution that eradicates corruption. It also happens in the final stage of the selection of candidates for the leadership of KPK. The selection committee has begun stages to select 8 of the 19 candidates who passed the previous selection stage. The selection committee completed the selection interview held openly at the State Secretariat Jakarta, which ended on Wednesday, August 26. All parties won. The good performance of the committee is continued in the final stage. 8 candidates will later be submitted to President Joko Widodo. Therefore, at the end of this last stage, all parties asked the selection committee to improve the precision, accuracy, and at the same time, circumspection. While the committee asked the public to provide input related to the 19 candidates' track record, the public who has the knowledge and records, both positive and negative, associated with the candidates, can provide input to the selection committee. In that regard, it is believed the selection committee has received a lot of inputs from the community in the form of information and data on the track records of the 19 candidates. Therefore, in order for the committee to become a strong institution and immune from attempts to be criminalized, then the 8 candidates are those who are really competent, free from corruption, and free from conflicts of interest. We conclude press review with Republika. The newspaper in its editorial wrote, price stabilization. Stabilization seems to be a condition that is hard to be found nowadays. That there is a rise and fall in prices of some commodities are uncontrollable. The problem becomes more complex because the commodities whose prices are not stable are the staple food of Indonesian society. It was started about 4 weeks ago when the price of beef goes up dramatically. In some areas, the price of beef reaches 140,000 rupees per kilogram, compared to the previous price of 90,000 rupees. The government has managed to find the root cause of the price increase. A number of fattening companies turns unilaterally raised the price by pressing the government to add quota for beef imports. However, the government also took steps to seek the center of the issue. Now the price of meat fell slowly. When the beef price has not resolved, then chicken meat prices soaring, while the price of tomatoes fell at the farm level. According to Republika, the government and the farmers should work together to increase production in the country. Similarly, the vegetable farmers should receive price incentives so that they do not become victim of middlemen and mafia. When all that is done, it is quite possible the price stabilization will be achieved, because when people troubled by the price of food, it becomes very easy to spark unrest. This is what certain parties want to undermine political stability and security of this country. This is where the importance of stabilizing the prices of basic commodities. Hopefully, the government can handle this with the composition of the new cabinet. Well, listener, that was Press Review.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with Mirahma in our regular segment Today in History from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. This is a program that compiles various important historical events in the past. We start from an event on August 29, 1945, when the Central Indonesian National Committee was established. The Central Indonesian National Committee, or KNIP, was a body appointed to assist the president of the newly independent Indonesia. On August 29, the first Indonesian president, Sukarno, established the Central Indonesian National Committee.
Sukarno and Hatta, the then vice president, appointed 135 members, including the membership of PPKI, to this new body. Originally purely advisory, it later gained assumed legislative functions. The working committee of the KNEP became part of the People's Representative Council when Indonesia became a unitary state in 1950. The next event was in 1949 when the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics tested its first atomic bomb. On August 29, 1949, the effort brought its results when the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics tested its first atomic bomb, dubbed Zhou-1 by the US, years ahead of American predictions. The news of the first Soviet bomb was announced to the world first by the United States, which had detected the nuclear fallout it generated from its test site in Kazakhstan. The loss of the American monopoly on nuclear weapons marked the first tit-for-tat of the nuclear arms race. The response in the US was one of apprehension, fear, and scapegoating, which would lead eventually into the red-baiting tactics of McCarthyism. Yet, recent information from unclassified Venona intercepts and the opening of the KGB archives after the fall of the Soviet Union show that the country had useful spies that helped their program, although none were identified by McCarthy. Before this, though, President Truman announced a decision to begin a crash program that would develop a far more powerful weapon than those the U.S. used against Japan, the hydrogen bomb. And the last event was in 2005 when Hurricane Katrina occurred. Katrina hurricane was the 11th named storm and 5th hurricane of the 2005 Atlantic hurricane season. It was the costliest natural disaster, as well as one of the 5 deadliest hurricanes in the history of the United States. The storm is currently ranked as the 3rd most intense United States landfalling tropical cyclone, behind only the 1935 Labor Day hurricane and Hurricane Camille in 1969. Overall, at least 1,245 people died in the hurricane and subsequent floods, making it the deadliest United States hurricane since the 1928 Okeechobee hurricane. Total property damage was estimated at $108 billion, roughly 4 times the damage wrought by Hurricane Andrew in 1992. Later, Hurricane Ike in 2008 and Hurricane Sandy in 2012 caused more damage than Hurricane Andrew, but both were far less destructive than Katrina. Well, listeners, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Here is today's focus on government forms task force to overcome dwelling time in port. I'm Dalat Pani. 2 weeks after being elected as coordinating minister for maritime, Rijal Ramli established a task force to address the length of the waiting period of loading and unloading or dwelling time at the port of Tanjung Priok, Jakarta. With the task force, the government hopes to resolve the problem of dwelling time within a month. It was stated by Rijal Ramli in a press conference in his office on Tuesday. Rijal Ramli founded Higuchi Roni Ras, a former official at the Ministry of Finance and the Coordinating Ministry for the Economy, Finance and Industry, as the chairman of the task force. In performing his duties, Roni assisted by 2 advisors, namely Navy Chief of Staff Marsetio and Deputy 2 for the Coordination of Natural Resources and Services of Coordinating Ministry for Maritime, Agung Kuswandono, who is also a former Director General of Customs of Ministry of Finance. Roni, who is also an academician of the University of Indonesia expressed his commitment to address the problem of dwelling time. One immediate step is to make sure the process of licensing of pre-clearance is done online. Ronnie even dares setting the target of dwelling time at Tanjung Priok Port will be 2 to 2.5 days. Especially for the port of Tanjung Priok, the Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs, Rizal Ramli, prepares 7 steps to address the waiting period of loading and unloading, or dwelling time. The improvements include improving the flow of goods, information technology system, and to eradicate mafia that has been playing. Indonesian National Importers Association welcomes the government's efforts to fix the time of loading and unloading of goods at the port. They hope the breakthrough that the government is prepared could be immediately realized. Ahmad Ridwan Tento, Secretary General of the National Importers Association of Indonesia, GINSI, on Wednesday said, "One of the things that must be addressed is the improvement of information communication technology, ICT, to support the licensing system of export, import, as well as loading and unloading of goods." Ahmad proposed a special body to handle the permit application process electronically. At present, export and import trade chain activities of loading and unloading of goods is under the supervision of 20 ministries and agencies. If getting the permit is done electronically in one particular entity, then it is easier for employers, said Ahmad. Kafit Sirotudin, chairman of the Association of Exporters and Importers of Fresh Foods and Vegetables, Indonesia, concurred with Ahmad Ridwan Tento. Kafit says, "During this time, the issue of the length of time of loading and unloading of goods are under a number of ministries and agencies, but they are not in one coordination. For example, the agency is able to issue the permit quickly, while others do not." Well, listener, that was today's focus.
This is RRI Road Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Next item in the program is headline news. So this is headlines of national newspaper published in Jakarta today, Saturday, August 29, 2015. Let's begin with Kompas Daily, which in its headline writes, "Communication is the key to policy effectiveness." Communication is an important factor in the government policy plan. Effective communication needs to be present both in the interaction within the government, such as between the president and the ministers, and between government and business people. Vice Chairman of the Chamber of Commerce and Industry of the Food Processing Industry Strategic Commodities Sector, Juan Permata Adu, during a visit to Kompas Daily, said communication is necessary in order to avoid misunderstandings in dealing with problems. And this including communication with the authorities. Through communication, there will be input and opinion coming before a policy is issued. Thus, the policy could be as targeted. Turning to Republika newspaper, which in its headlines write, "President Jokowi said we must relax. The weakening of the rupiah against the US dollar triggered widespread termination of employment or laid off, and thousands of companies are threatened with collapse. The companies took steps toward labor efficiency to deal with soaring economic costs due to the decline of the rupiah. Responding to that condition, President Joko Widodo, during the steam power plant construction kick-off in Batang, Central Java on Friday, asked the public to remain calm. He said the most important to stay calm in facing every problem, and the government has issued an instrument by state agencies, including by Bank Indonesia and Financial Services Authority. In addition, there are fiscal policies initiated by the government." And we end with Media Indonesia Daily, which writes, 35,000 megawatt electricity must be achieved. In the midst of the economic downturn, President Joko Widodo inaugurated the steam power plant development project in Batang, Central Java yesterday. The president reiterated that there should be no more projects stalled due to licensing issues or land acquisition. The power plant project worth around 56 trillion rupiahs and said to be the biggest in ASEAN or the Southeast Asian region was supposed to be operational next year, but construction was delayed for 4 years. The project has also become part of the scenario to realize the target of constructing power plants with a capacity of 35,000 megawatts in 2019. The government expects to finish electrification ratio in 2019 to reach 97% of the total number of households in Indonesia, and in 2020 to 99%. That was headline news of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. In 2014, the number of foreign tourists visiting Indonesia reached nearly 10 million people, and in 2019, it is targeted to reach 20 million people. The value of trade between Indonesia and Kazakhstan in 2013 and 2014 increased from $23 million to $36 million. The delegation of the Regional Representative Council visited dairy farmers from Indonesia, grantee of Frontera Scholarship in New Zealand. Jakarta Administration has launched a city-owned lender PT Penjamin Kredit Daerah Jakarta Jamkrida to ease the provision of credit for small and medium enterprises, including street vendors. National carrier Garuda Indonesia was fined 120,000 rial after 8 of its airplanes were forced to delay landing at Amir Muhammad bin Abdul Aziz Airport in Medina due to the delay of visa processes of a number of pilgrims in the Saudi Arabian embassy in Jakarta. The government has decided to keep fuel oil prices unchanged as of September the 1st despite the current slump in global oil prices. Yogyakarta Cultural Heritage Preservation Center has decided to totally restore Kalasan Temple as its structure is unsafe and facing salt damage. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakas.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. And in today's edition, we will invite you to travel to Bali, to Bali Island, to visit Pura Taman Ayun or Taman Ayun Temple. So stay tuned. Listener, Bali is known as the island of a thousand temples. In accordance with the title, you can certainly find many beautiful temples on the island. One of them is Taman Ayun in Mengwi Village, Badung Regency. This temple can be reached about 30 minutes from Denpasar, the provincial capital of Bali. Taman Ayun Temple is very beautiful, fitting to its name, which means a beautiful garden. In addition to its beauty, Taman Ayun Temple is also considered to have historical value, so that in 2002, the government proposed to UNESCO that the Balinese temple is included in the World Heritage List. Pura Taman Ayun or Taman Ayun Temple is the center or pibon for Mengwi Kingdom. This temple was built by Mengwi King I Gusti Agung Puto in 1556 Saka or 1634. This temple is bordered by a wide river that irrigates the rice fields around the site. This temple was dedicated to the ancestral kingdom of Mengwi and other important gods. Taman Ayun Temple complex occupies an area of 100 times 250 square meters and consists of the outer and the inner courts, which are on the higher location. Pura Taman Ayun's outer court is called Jaba. Listener, to enter the inner part of the outer court, there is a bridge across the pond leading to a gate. The gate is the entrance to the inner court, first surrounded by a stone fence. Once inside, on the right, there is a large building, or wantilan, where cockfights are held frequently when there is a ceremony. There is also a fountain with 9 water fountains. Entering the second court, or middle jaba, there is a bali with the carvings of amazing gods Nawasanga. Nawasanga is the god of gods who keeps the 9 cardinal directions. This Kulkul bali stands like a skyscraper. Kulkul is a traditional media the people use to communicate. Kulkul is used to call the villagers together. Kulkul's sound is vary according to what activities will be done by the community. The last court is Jaba Jero. It is the most sacred part of Taman Ayun Temple. This place has 3 gates. The gate in the center is only opened when performed religious ceremonies. This door serves as the exit, an entrance to the sacred statues and other sacred instruments for ceremonial activities. 2 other doors, on the right and left side, is for everyday use. On this page, there are some meru, or places of worship, in various shapes and size. In Taman Ayun Temple, you can enjoy the area around the temple while taking pictures. There are many beautiful spots for photography. For those who love to shop, at the opposite of the temple, there are several vendors selling food or souvenirs that you can buy as souvenirs. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Pura Taman Ayun or Taman Ayun Temple. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topic. Sampai jumpa. Bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is NRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyles. Today's edition will be discussing the Kalosara philosophy of Tolaki tribe. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Kendari is made up of several tribes, one of which is Tolaki. This is one of indigenous tribes in mainland Southeast Sulawesi, besides Muna tribe of Muna Island and Buton tribe originating from the island of Buton. Around the 10th century, mainland Southeast Sulawesi had 2 great kingdoms, namely Konawe in Konawe region and Makonga in Kolaka. In general, both are the same root, known as Tolaki tribe. Tolaki tribe has long inhabited the Southeast region of Sulawesi Island. It is spreading in some areas, namely in Kendari, Konawe, North Konawe, South Konawe, and Kolaka. The community life in Kendari is not only influenced by the noble values of Tolaki tribe, but also by other ethnic communities in Southeast Sulawesi, all of which became the glue of life in this area.
Kalo or Kalosara actually is an object made of three pieces of rattan twisted to form a circle. For Tolaki society, Kalo is a guideline that affects people's lives. At the level of cultural values, it is a system of customary norms functioning to embody the ideas conceived of the things most valued in society. Kalo at the level of rules regulate activities that are very clear and limited scope in people's lives. Based on the manufacturing materials and use, there are many kinds of kalo. First, kalo made of rattan, called kalosara, that is used as a traditional equipment for a marriage ceremony, the inauguration ceremony of a king, welcoming ceremony for an important guest, the ceremony of peace over a dispute, a tool for a number of figures to convey something to the government official, a tool to deliver invitation for a family gathering. Kalosara is equipped with containers woven from palm twig and white fabric as the base. Second is kalo, which is made of gold, called kalo eno-eno, which is used as ceremonial offerings tool, a compensation for breach of promise to marry a girl in the series making a proposal of marriage. It can also become part of the dowry and worn as a necklace for women. And the third is kalo made of iron, called kalo kalilaw, which is used as a buffalo nose ring. The fourth is kalo made of silver, called kalo sambiala, kalo bolosi, and kalo langge. Each is worn as jewelry on the chest, wrist, and ankle for both children and young women. The fifth is kalo made of thread called kalo kalikali, which is used as a binder for a baby's wrist and ankles, and kalo ula-ula, used as a means to convey a message that somebody has died. Six is kalo made of white cloth called kalo lowani, which is worn on the head as a sign of mourning. Kalo made of non-white fabric is called usu-usu and is worn on the head as a binder and headgear for old people. The seventh is kalo made of tree roots or bark called kalo pebo, used as a waistband for adults. The concept of kalo in Tolaki culture has a very broad scope and meaning. Kalo generally include customs, even the main instrument, which is the source of all customs of Tolaki people, applicable in all aspects of their lives. This is why people in Tolaki upholds values and philosophical meaning contained in a simple circle called kalosara or kalo. That was Miscellany today about Kalosara philosophy of Tolaki tribe. Brought to you by Voice of Indonesia, I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to hip-hop band from Yogyakarta named Jogja Hip Hop Foundation, or well-known JHF. VOI listeners, let's listen to a song entitled Song of Sabda Tama. Thank you. VOA listeners, that was the first song entitled Song of Sabdatama, sung by Jogja Hip Hop Foundation. Founded by Marzuki Muhammad Akakil, the DJ, in 2003, Jogja Hip Hop Foundation projects itself to accommodate Yogyakarta-based hip hop crews that mostly use traditional Javanese language. Even though the name might sound formal, JHF operates in a more communal way rather than in the form of formal institutions. Through the eyes of a young, urban, optimistic, and culturally proud music generation, they see a fascinating and fresh fusion of old and new Indonesia. The JHF are inspired by and often use traditional Javanese putri for themes and lyrics, as well as traditional gamelan sound. They then mix it with modern hip-hop beats, rhythms, and sensibilities. They also support their activities from the sales of audio CDs and merchandises. After the Putri Battle Project, several sponsors came along to support their projects. VOA listeners, let's listen to the next songs from JHF entitled Jula Juli Lollipop.
Rambut permen lollipop, bunder tor kepeng rasanya lagi. Kepengen tungen, pengen tadi ngetop, lariannya laris, kusunginnya mati. Rambut permen lollipop, bunder tor kepeng rasanya lagi. Kepengen tungen, pengen tadi ngetop, lariannya laris, kusunginnya mati. Saiki kabeh dobler matane, podo nuruti pasar opo pesenane. Nyeple wis dadi cara nggo golek pangane. Seni rambut sing penting entuk duit. Inspirasi ne wis ilang dipendem mati. Rasa solidaritas e wis podo lali. Karya seni kontemporer jaman saiki. Wong kaya kutane ilang rasa lebi. Sing dituju nilai rupiah lan dolare. Golek cara ben payu laris dagangane. Karya seni ne lali gambar ke rakyate. Rakyat sing urip sing sono wapis nasibe. Rambut permen lollipop, bunder tor kepeng rasanya lagi. Kepengen poken, pengen tapi ngetop, lariannya laris, kursuninnya mati. Rambut permen lollipop, bunder tor kepeng rasanya lagi. Kepengen poken, pengen tapi ngetop, lariannya laris, kursuninnya mati. Kalau kacaku sing kepengen jadi artis, pancen dasar bocahe seneng ane narsis. Banjur tingkah polae mung sing manis-manis, malah koyo permen rasanya kringis. Pikir kok kaya tukang kayu, mengwaton ngemali opo-opo sing payu. Seni saiki nuruti pasar sing laku, dadi bangunan asal tau sama tau. Soyo suwe dodolane kok soyo payu, tambah sugih wonge uripe tambah maju. Omae dadi gedong dicet warna biru, gedhe manggon kamare ono pintu. Rambut permen lollipop, bunder tur kepeng rasane legi. Kepengen peken, pengen tadi ngetop, lariannya laris, kusunginnya mati. Rambut permen lollipop, bunder tur kepeng rasane legi. Kepengen peken, pengen tadi ngetop, lariannya laris, kusunginnya mati. Jangan biar kisih noda lomba bit onto, saiki wis numpak mobil gede tur gawa. Tuku opo-opo ra perlu delok rego, padahal kisih sering jalo aku. Seko jaman semono isih ramah karo aku, kok saiki sikape malih dadi kaku. Ganti HP nganggo HP tipe terbaru, senengane mung gendong romaku. Aku omae rame diparani bos kagol, takon opo ono karya sing siap didol. Karya seni koyo gagangan jeneng dodol, seni kok saya mawon wis modol-modol. Rambut permen lollipop, bunder tur kepeng rasane legi. Kepengen peken, pengen tapi ngetop, lariannya laris, kusunginnya mati. Rambut permen lollipop, bunder tur kepeng rasane legi. Kepengen peken, pengen tapi ngetop, lariannya laris, kusunginnya mati. Rambut permen lollipop, bunder tur kepeng rasane legi. Kepengen peken, pengen tapi ngetop, lariannya laris, kusunginnya mati. Rambut permen lollipop, bunder tur kepeng rasane legi. Kepengen peken, pengen tapi ngetop, lariannya laris, kusunginnya mati.
After few small projects, JHF started the Indonesian Putri Project in 2006, then produced the Putri Battle first album in 2007 and Putri Battle 2 in 2008. Both consist of putris and ancient literature, starting from literatures from the 18th century to contemporary putris. The goal of Putri Battle Project is to promote love and pluralism through its theme, love and respect to the others. JFF's highlight consists of three crews who consistently rap in Javanese language. Those groups also combine Javanese traditional groove with urban music beat. They are Jahanam, Rotra, and Kill the DJ, a bunch of Javanese root boys standing still in the cross culture. JHF just launched a documentary movie titled Hip Hop Diningrat, The Tales of Javanese Hip Hop. VOA listeners, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs from Jogja Hip Hop Foundation entitled Jogja Istimewa and Cicak Muntal Boyo. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Ulo pes kontol paris.
Tanah lahirkan tahta, tata untuk rakyat. Di mana rajanya bercermin di kabur rakyat. Demikianlah singgasana bermartabat, berdiri kokoh mengayomi rakyat.
Memayu hayuning bawono, soko zaman perjuangan nganti mertiko. Jogja istimewa bukan hanya daerahnya, tapi juga karena orang-orangnya.
Pati mesti utawa mati manunggal kawu Gusti, menyerang tanpa pasukan, menang tanpa merendahkan, kesaktian tanpa ajian, kekayaan tanpa kemewahan, tenang bagai ombak gemuruh laksana Marapi, tradisi hidup di tengah modernisasi, rakyat dijajah desa milang tori, nyebarake seni lan budi pekerti.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.